Chapter 8. The children tried to wake up the boy in the red jumper. They tried to wet his ears with milk to wake him up. The candle Peter brought was almost out.
"I think he's dead," said Phyllis.
"No, he's not," said Bobby.
"Oh, please, wake up," the children said.
"Come out of it," Peter said. He shook the boy by the arm. The boy in the red jumper opened his eyes and closed them again.
"Stuff it," he said.
"Oh, he's not dead," said Phyllis, and she started to cry.
"Of course I'm not dead," the boy said. "What's wrong with you?"
"Drink this," Peter said. He gave the boy the bottle of milk to drink from.
"What is it?" the boy asked.
"Milk," said Peter.
"Oh, do drink it. It will do you good," said Bobby.
The boy drank the milk. The three children watched as the boy drank. They didn't speak at all until he finished his milk.
"I'm better now," the boy said. "I remember what happened. I think I broke my leg."
"Did you fall down?" Phyllis asked. She stopped crying.
"I tripped over one of the wires. I couldn't get up again. It hurts a lot."
"How did you all get here?" the boy asked.
"We saw you all go into the tunnel. We climbed the hill to watch you all come out. Only you didn't."
"We came to rescue you," said Peter.
"You must be very brave," the boy said.
"Not very."
"Do you think you can walk if we help you?" Peter asked.
"I will try," said the boy. He got up, but he could only stand on one leg. He dragged the other leg behind him.
"I feel like I am dying. I need to sit down."
"Peter, go to the nearest house and get help," Bobby said.
"Yes, I will," said Peter.
The three children tried to move the boy to the manhole.
The boy fainted again, but the children managed to get him to the manhole.
"Take the candle and Phyllis. Go to the nearest house."
"I will stay here," said Bobby.
"No, I will stay. You go with Phyllis," said Peter.
"No, you take Phyllis. Give me your knife. I will take his shoe off before he wakes up again."
Peter and Phyllis ran off.
Bobby broke her nail while she was getting the pocket knife open. She cut through the bootlace and took off his shoe.
She cut off his sock and looked at his leg.
It didn't look right at all.
Bobby took off her white flannel petticoat and folded it to make a cushion for the boy's leg.
"What happened?" the boy asked.
"We moved you."
"Please don't faint again," Bobby said.
She took out her handkerchief, put some milk on it, and then put it on the broken leg.
"Oh, that hurts. Wait, no, it doesn't. That feels nice," the boy said.
"What's your name?" Bobby asked.
"Jim," the boy said.
"I'm Bobby. Well, I'm really Roberta, but nobody calls me that," said Bobby.
"Where are the other two?" the boy asked.
"They went to get help," said Bobby.
"You're a very good and kind nurse," said Jim. "Aren't you afraid of the dark?"
"No, not very," said Bobby.
"Let's hold hands," said Jim.
It made Bobby feel better about sitting in the dark. It was very cold in the tunnel. Bobby and Jim sat in silence. It's very difficult to talk in the dark.
Peter and Phyllis got to the end of the tunnel without any accidents. It was a very long way. When they got to the end, Phyllis was very happy to be in the light again. "I'll never go into a tunnel again as long as I live," she said. Peter looked around for a house. There wasn't a house anywhere nearby. The closest thing was the signal box. It was very hot. Peter and Phyllis were tired when they got to the signal box. The signalman was fast asleep in his chair. Signalmen who fall asleep on duty don't keep their jobs.
"Wake up!" Peter cried.
The signalman jumped to his feet.
"Oh my! What time is it?" he asked.
12:13, said Peter. The signalman got to his feet and pulled on some of the levers. The children heard the tracks and the wires moving outside. Then the signalman sat down again. He looked very pale.
"Thank God! Thank God! You came in when you did. Oh, thank God!" said the signalman.
He started crying. It took Peter and Phyllis a while to calm him down.
"What a terrible mistake! What are you two doing here anyway?" the signalman asked.
"There is a boy in a red jumper in the tunnel. His leg is broken," said Phyllis.
"Why did he go into the tunnel?" the signalman asked.
"He was a hound in a paper chase," said Peter. The children told the signalman the story about the paper chase and how they found the boy in the tunnel.
"I can't leave the signal box, but there is a farm over there," the signalman said.
Peter and Phyllis ran to the farm.
They told the farmer and his men what had happened.
A great group of farm men followed Peter and Phyllis into the tunnel. When they got down the tunnel to the manhole, they found Jim and Bobby were asleep. They were both so worn out. Peter and Phyllis woke Bobby and Jim. They had brought a stretcher for Jim. The men lifted him onto it. The farmer spoke to Bobby.
"Where does he come from?" he asked.
"From Northumberland," said Bobby.
"I go to the grammar school in town. I need to go back. They will be worried," said Jim.
"We need to get the doctor first. He needs to look at your leg," said the farmer.
"We can take him to our house. Mother won't mind," said Bobby.
"How far is it?" the farmer asked.
"It's not very far," said Peter.
"Your mother won't mind you bringing a stranger home with a broken leg?" the farmer asked.
"She looked after a poor Russian man. It is the right thing to do," said Bobby.
"All right then, you know your mother," said the farmer.
"Are you sure your mother won't mind?" Jim asked.
"She won't mind at all," said Bobby.
"Come on, men. We are taking the boy to Three Chimneys. My boy will go and get the doctor. 1, 2, 3, lift," said the farmer.
Mother was writing a story about a duchess, a villain, a secret passage, and a missing will when the farm men, Jim, and the children got to Three Chimneys. She saw Bobby first. Bobby ran home. She lost her hat and was red when she got home.
"Oh, Mother, come down. We need you. We found a boy in the tunnel with a broken leg. He was a hound in the paper chase," said Bobby.
"Someone needs to take him home to his mother," Mother said. She was frowning.
"His mother is dead, and his father is in Northumberland. He goes to the grammar school in that town. Oh, Mother, please be kind to him. I was sure you wouldn't mind us bringing him home.
You always want to help everyone, said Bobby.
Oh, Bobby, very well. We will make the best of it, Mother said.
The farm men, Jim, Peter and Phyllis did not take long to reach Three Chimneys. Jim was very pale, and his lips had gone blue.
Oh dear, I am glad you brought Jim home. Let's put you to bed and wait for the doctor, said Mother.
It hurts a lot. Don't think ill of me if I faint, said Jim.
I won't think ill of you, said Mother.
I don't do it on purpose. I don't want to make any trouble for you, said Jim.
Don't worry. You won't be any trouble. We would love to have you here, wouldn't we, Bobby? Said Mother.
Then she kissed Jim on the forehead, just like she kissed Peter, Bobby and Phyllis.
Yes, we would, said Bobby.
The look on Mother's face told Bobby she was right to bring Jim home.